Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Earlier this week, the Court of Appeal quashed a development order by DBKL to develop Tamarimba Kiara in Taman Tun Dr. Ismail. TTDI residents had protested for more than 5 years against the proposed development, in which several blocks of high-end apartments had been approved by DBKL. Joining us on the show tonight, we have Hannah Yeo, MP of Segambut. Tamarimba Kiara is part of her constituency. Good evening, Hannah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Now, TTDI is seen to be a mature and affluent neighborhood. And for many outside of the Klang Valley, this case was perceived to be TTDI residents using their influence and power and resources to preserve their neighborhood and their quality of life. This going up against an equally rich developer and its allies. Now, maybe you can help shed some light as to what were the public interest and social justice dimensions in this case.
So when I was elected in 2018, at that time, development order had already been given to the developer. So this is original Tamarimba Kiara, 12 acres of the land given through the BN government to Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. At that time, the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan was Tengku Adnan. Every FT chairman will become the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. So they entered into a joint venture with the developer to develop part of Tamarimba Kiara on that land in the name of providing housing for the 98 longhouse residents. So when I came in, the residents were already in court fighting this case against the development order. And so for me at that time, we tried to engage the new FT minister, Khalid Samad, to see whether or not Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan could cancel this. But we were not able to come to an agreement simply because Khalid Samad felt at that time that scaling it down by half the proposed development was good enough. And he was very concerned about reimbursement back to the developer. And also, I think what's most important is the TTDI residents and myself, we really tried everything we could to come out with an alternative housing model for the longhouse residents. So we felt the best option would be to provide upgrade their existing housing, landed property on 4.4 acres because it's just 98 families. Instead of moving them out from their existing plot, building affordable housing, one block of apartment and putting them there, and at the same time then building this huge high-end condo. Yeah.
So, Hannah, was the public interest dimension of this case then to do with the longhouses or the rumah panjang dwellers? Was it about that, about fighting for the longhouse dwellers against a property developer? Or was it about the green lung but preserving this part of the environment and not giving it giving way to development?
Both. The longhouse residents deserve permanent housing at their site because they have been there since 1980s. And at the same time, we must protect Tamarimba Kiara as it is. So no extra acres given to any proposed new development.
Anna, it seemed to me that the issue of the longhouses was a bit of a red herring when it was brought up, because what seemed to be motivating many of the stakeholders was this the 3 billion ringgit gross development value of the project and the anticipated 160 million ringgit that was going to accrue to the Yayasan as a consequence. Isn't that really the heart of it? Not the dwellers, not the longhouse dwellers, but really profits from this project.
That is why I think every Malaysian needs to read the judgment of the Court of Appeal, because the Court of Appeal decision unmasks everything, every narrative that they try to put up, you know, that it is to help the Longhouse residents and in exchange, you know, for 12 acres of Taman Rimba Kera to be developed. And so I'm so pleased that the Court of Appeal dealt with all this myth that they were trying to put up. I mean, at one point, they organized protests of the Longhouse residents in front of PMO, and they turned this into almost like a racial issue, you know, to say that I only cared for the Taman Tun, the rich people. I did not care about the Longhouse residents. And that was a blatant lie, because on our team, which we have engaged, yeah, we have Longhouse residents on our side, and they felt that the best option for them kind of housing is to have landed properties on their existing site.
Right. And I want to ask you about that, you know, because there was this case took so long to fight out in court, and it was more than 5 years. The question of whether justice is only available to those who have the financial means to fight long battles in court. I mean, this was definitely something you had a very resource, you know, had, with financial firepower of developer going against residents of PTDI. Is that the case? Is that we're only going to see cases like this for residents who have the means to fight it out in court?
It definitely cost the residents a lot of time, energy, and also money to fight this at the Court of Appeal. But I am thankful that the community really came together to help one another. I just want to share with you a very touching moment when we organized a town hall to update the residents. I was told that the nearby mosque made an announcement to ask residents, you know, young and old, to come and attend the town hall because this is their bid to help save the park. And I saw the coming together of the community, and at every point, the TTDI residents were there every single festival to want to invest into the Longhouse residents. You know, it's really the whole model of Kita Jaga Kita. And I think it's a blatant lie to say that every TTDI resident is rich. I saw a lot of retirees, people who have to sacrifice their time and their savings to fight this case out. And I'm very thankful to the legal team. I think Prof. Goodell and Christopher Leong and the other lawyers really helped us a lot.
Hannah, you know, in the judgment that you say everyone should read, and I agree with you, because it does bring up some very important issues around conflicts of interest, which are in our institutions, this duty to provide reasons for decisions made, you know, that you can't simply make a decision without actually having a stated reason, and that in many ways, you know, those who run DBKL, you know, seem to be either ignorant or unwilling to adhere to plans like the KL structure plan, you know, that they seem to not think that this was part of their duty. Do you think what we'll see as a consequence of this case, reforms within those institutions that were the main stakeholders in this case?
Definitely, this is a landmark decision, and I know that DBKL from now onwards will have to take objections of the residents seriously and engagement of the stakeholders in its purest form, and not just, you know, sending out notices, but actually not taking into account the actual objections that come with those notices. Also, in this case, we turn to a lot of other institutions, for example, the MACC. And the MACC was exploring on conflict of interest, but, you know, nothing really came out of that. And moving forward now, I hope that DBKL will not appeal this decision because as you can see, the public interest and there is great celebration when everybody heard that, you know, Taman Rimba Kiara's development order has been revoked. And so for this now, we want to focus on resolving the housing issue for the Longhouse residents. And I hope Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan will take the PAC report, because PAC in Parliament also found similar findings there is conflict of interest when the mayor of DBKL also sits in Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. And I hope that new FT Minister Anwar Musa will listen and pay attention to what the KL people want.
Oh, you know, Shira brought up the KL structure plan, and I'm wondering, maybe you can provide us some insight as to how the government is thinking about development versus environment preservation. Is there a strategy or an approach that we can see to this? Because as we know, developers are a very powerful lobby. How are we thinking about urbanization and development vis-a-vis the environment?
The problem in Malaysia is in writing, we have all the perfect documents. They are there, but no one is following them. And that's why I think moving forward, when you already have the KL plan, you really need to ensure that every single committee, conversion of land use, the cabinet in alienating land to entities, you really need to pay attention to what is written in these gazetted documents. You have to honor and respect because they have spent a lot of money preparing these documents. And the mess that we have in Kuala Lumpur today is a result, not because of lack of proper documents like this, but a lack of enforcement and also follow through to follow strictly what has been passed.
Anna, you know, you brought up, and I think it was reported in the media that you were quite disappointed with a lot of institutions and also, you know, the minister at that point in time. I mean, I think one of the issues that the Malaysians now, having been through, you know, a Barisan National Government, a Pakatan Harapan Government, and now a Perikatan National Government, the issue of whether there is a consensus on values. And I'm thinking today of what is happening with the Selangor state government's almost hell-bent on pushing through the degazetting of the North Kuala Langat Forest Reserve. Does PH, I mean, you are from Pakatan Harapan as a coalition, do you have a coherent view of the environment and the one which speaks with a single voice about these issues? Because it seems that it's very schizophrenic on the PH side of the aisle.
How do I say this? I think every politician owes a duty, not just to the current voters, but the generations to come. And this is what I have observed. I understand Khalid Samad's dilemma at that time because he was worried about compensation because he inherited a lot of this Tengku Anand's decision when he came on board. But I think there must be a time when elected politicians do not just look at the value of money, but, you know, hold on to what is true and what is right, not just for current batch of voters, but, you know, the children to come. And it's not easy in Kuala Lumpur and Selangor to find green area anymore. We really need to ensure that it is the last resort before we touch any inch of this green area. There is no justified reason, no matter how you try to argue it out, to build more condos at the expense of green area. We have enough condos everywhere in Kuala Lumpur. Yes,
Hannah, do you feel, I take your point about the property overhang. You're definitely right. There is more than enough condos in the KL and Klang Valley area. What is your position on the North Kuala Langat Forest Reserve? Do you support the degazetting of that area?
Of course not. I live in Selangor, but I'm no longer a representative in Selangor. So I need to look into the details of the case, but I definitely think that we should, every Harapan government need to ensure that we do our best. We need to be different from the BN administration or Perikatan Nasional.
All right, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We really do appreciate your time and you sharing your experiences in this case. We're going to take a quick break on Consider This, but we'll be back and we'll speak to the lead counsel for the TTDI residents after this. Stay tuned.